Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Rasheem. Rasheem, you've been here before?
Correct? I have, yes.
Awesome. So welcome back. For those that don't know who you are, why don't you take a second to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Rasheem Gupta. I'm a PM in the HD Insight team, and I work on our big data products, HD Insight and Azure Data Lake.
Awesome. So you're here today to talk about Hive and kind of optimizing Hive. Is this something you're hearing a lot from customers that are using Hive? Do we have a lot of contingency clusters spun up in Hive?
That's right. So a lot of our customers come to Hadoop to do big data.
Yeah.
And they expect, they come from SQL and they expect the same performance.
Right.
But then, you know, Hadoop is not optimized by default to run every kind of job. It's optimized to make sure your job runs.
Right.
So it's left to you to tune your job, tune some settings to make sure your job runs faster.
Okay. So you have five that you're going to talk about. Are these the kind of top five that people should be considering? Because I think you and I were talking before. There's, I think it was, you said hundreds that optimizations that people could make.
Yep. Right.
And we do a lot of that under the covers when they spin up a cluster. But are some of these you kind of the, hey, here's the best practices that we don't do automatically that you should be looking at, and maybe not all five, depending on workload?
Just to be clear, we do a lot of stuff automatically, like using the Tez. Every cluster is tuned for some settings, so we do a lot automatically. However, the five I'm going to talk about, depending on your workload, need to be tuned. So these are, I would say, the biggest bang for the buck.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump in.
Okay, great. So let's start with the first one. The first one I will talk about is compression.
Okay.
So why is compression important? As you know, Hadoop, typically you read, everything happens in Hadoop by when you read from data, or read from disk and write to disk.
Okay.
Right, so the biggest bottleneck is I/O. So disk I/O is the biggest bottleneck. The second bottleneck is that same data has to be transferred over the wire.
Okay.
Over the network.
So latency.
Yeah.
So
the first thing that people think about is, if I/O is the bottleneck, why don't I compress the data?
Okay.
So that's great. And that's the first thing we've seen our customers do. They compress the data. There is a trade-off, because if you compress while you save on storage, disk I/O network bandwidth, there is some CPU time because it needs to be decompressed.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Isn't there almost a trade-off by either, you know, compression, decompressing versus kind of the I/O?
Yeah, there is, but in general, this side is better.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is customers choose their favorite compression algorithm.
Yep.
In most cases, it's gzip, because it's a text file. And then they are very disappointed because they don't see any parallelism out of their job. Right. Why is that? Look at the last column, splittable here. What splittable is telling us is for Hadoop and Hive to actually run your jobs in parallel, it has to be able to split the file, right? And so once you zip it, especially use gzip, Hive is unable to do that. MapReduce is unable to do that. And so essentially, if you zip a 10 gig file, it becomes like 3 gigs. It's all running on one mapper.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had unzipped, it would have run in 10 mappers.
It's still one file. It can't, you know, a MapReduce job can't split that and parallelize that job if it's split it. Okay,
so
that makes sense.
So there are these different algorithms we recommend. If you have to use text, use bzip2, which is actually splittable. And you can search online. We've written some blogs on that. There's also a LZO, which is another algorithm which we recommend, but you have to take care of indexing. It's a little bit more complicated, but I would say these are the two you should use if you're going to use compression.
Okay.
So that's the first learning, that use compression, but use it wisely.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So what files are you compressing, and then what compression technology you're going to use to make sure you get the best performance out of that?
Okay. That's right. Okay, let's go to the second one. So the second one is partitioning.
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar to SQL partitioning if you're coming from the SQL world. Why do you need to do partitioning? Hive, by default, reads the entire file.
Okay.
Right, that's just how it is set up. And like we discussed, I/O is the bottleneck. So if you can reduce the amount of data it reads, you know, your end-to-end latency will improve.
Okay.
So how is it actually implemented in Hive? Every time you upload files and you create a partition, each partition becomes a folder. So I'll explain that. For example, if you have a line item is a table name, which has a bunch of dates, if you partition by year, right? So it'll create multiple folders by the year.
Okay.
And then you say, hey, I want to get all the data from year 2005. It'll only look at that folder, right? So that's how partitioning works.
So you can, just like SQL, you can take a table in Hive and partition that table.
That's right.
By, in this case, year.
That's right.
Okay.
So some partitioning pointers, firstly, avoid data skew. So partitioning it works great when all the partitions are of approximately equal size.
Oh, okay.
What you don't want, like an example I'll give is partitioning on the state, the US population,
yeah.
the state. So
yeah.
California would be the biggest, and yeah. I'm guessing Vermont or New Hampshire would be the smallest.
Rhode Island just
yeah,
a little
yeah. bit. So based right. on that, you know, that's right. probably not good. What you want is, you know, maybe...
Something that's equally distributable across all
that's
the
right.
partitions.
That's right. Okay. So that's the first one. Secondly, do not over-partition. The other... we see people, also, our customers also partitioning on user ID, and that's not a good choice either because you don't want, Hive does not work great with a lot of directories and files, right? So I would say do not try to create more than 1,000, roughly speaking, 1,000 to 2,000 partitions or directories.
Would that depend on like your cluster size, how many nodes, things like that?
Not really. It just, Hadoop doesn't work well. With
once you get up to a number of clusters, okay.
Up to a number of directories.
Directories, okay.
Yeah. And thirdly, once you have partitioned it, the other advantage is once you set the setting up in Hive, and you can just do that in your Hive query as a prefix up to your query, it'll make sure that people accidentally don't run a full table scan. It'll fail if you have this setting on. So so this is a great way to avoid...
large table scans.
Yeah, large scans by accidentally.
Okay.
Okay, so let's keep going. So how do you create a partition table? You just create a table and say partition by the item. I'm going to skip. There are two types of partitioning, static and dynamic. You can just search online. Essentially, once you've done the partitioning, this is how it looks like. Like, for example, if you click on line item partition, you can see it created different directories. And if you double click on it, this is how
so
the file
So it'll do that for you.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
For those other things that we, are there like blog posts and things like that, we'll go documentation. We can point them at in the description of the show that we can.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay,
we should
good.
Do that.
We'll do that.
Great.
Awesome.
The third optimization, so we talked about two, compression and partitioning.
Mm-hmm.
The third one I'm going to talk about is using the ORC file format.
Okay.
What this means at a high level is almost all data comes in as CS, like text, whether it's CSV or log data or whatever. And then it needs to be cooked, right? And it needs to be cleaned up and then, you know, created ready for data warehousing.
Yep.
If you actually store it in ORC file format, you are able to then interactively you know, query the data right in the Hadoop cluster.
Right.
So like Hive supports many file formats. These are the three more popular ones.
Yep.
Text, which works with almost every scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Avro works great with interoperability scenarios. And ORC, Parquet, which is suited for performance. So we recommend you use ORC. Why do we prefer use ORC? Because ORC stands for, by the way, Optimized Row Columnar.
Okay.
It's the columnar storage for Hive. It allows you to do predicate push down. So let's talk a little bit about this. What is columnar storage? So by default, rows are stored in a row fashion.
Right, yeah.
But if you store data in a columnar fashion, if you ever think about it, most of the queries you run are on a column.
Yeah.
Like select star from this table where.
Yeah, or set column from
this
table.
Where state equals this.
Right.
And that's a column.
Yep.
So if you store data in a columnar format, it's much easier to scan through it.
Okay.
And also you have a lot of duplicates.
Okay.
You know? So in general, columnar storage is known for its speed.
Okay.
So with ORC, it uses columnar storage. It also does predicate pushdown, so it actually can run the queries at the data storage layer.
So if I have text coming in, if it's text, it's faster for me to convert that to ORC and then query that?
So if you have text coming in, it will take you some time to convert it to ORC.
Okay.
Because obviously it has to read the data and put it. But then when you run queries directly against ORC, it'll be much faster than running it against text.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. It also stores column statistics. So per column, what's the min, max, things like that. It creates lightweight indexes. And it can reduce your compression by 75%.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So again, this is how the ORC file format is laid. I'm not going to talk about it. We have a blog explaining this. But I just want to show you, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You just, again, as you create a table, this is how you create a regular table.
Okay.
You just add
stored as ORC,
and it'll create
ORC.
Very simple, yeah. Of course, there are more options you can give it, but this is the easiest way to create it.
Right, the simplest format.
Yeah,
okay.
And then you just, you know, you can insert data into this ORC table
from
your regular table. How is it stored? If you click on ORC, this is how it's stored. And you can, in this particular case, I brought the 1 terabyte data to 172 gigs.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so that's a lot of savings. Plus, it's fast.
That's 175% compression.
That's right.
Wow,
that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the third one, which is ORC. Now, let's talk about the fourth optimization, which is joins. So if once you start using Hive and Hadoop, you definitely want to do a lot more analysis with it. And that's where joins come into picture.
Right.
So how do joins work in Hive and Hadoop? So typically you have mappers, shuffle, and reduce.
Yeah.
So very simplistically, mappers, you read the raw data.
Yep.
You actually, in the shuffle stage, take the raw key value pairs, group them together, and pass them to the reducer where the join is done.
Okay.
Right? So the most expensive stage is the shuffle stage, because that's which has the sorting in it. So if there's anywhere you can reduce that part, that's great. So now that you know that, let's talk about the three types of joins and which you should use when. The three types of joins, we have shuffle join, map join, and sort merge bucket join. Each one of those has its pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go step by step. So most common one that will always work is shuffle join.
Okay.
It always works, but it's also not the best. It just reads part of one table and part of the other table does the join. Typical join algorithm, and
right.
It works. So if you don't want to think about it, that's what will work.
Okay.
But of course, if you want to optimize, you should choose one of the other
right.
two.
Okay.
The second one is map join, which works great if you have one table which is very small compared to the other table. If one of your table can fit in memory, you can actually, there's only one phase, which is mapper. Because right in the mapper, it does the join. Because it has one table in memory, it just takes a part of the second table, does the join, and you're done.
So that works if you got, you know, minimal amount of data in a table.
That's right. So if you do have that scenario, I would highly recommend you use that.
Right.
And the final one is sort merge bucket join. This needs, this is very efficient, but the reason it's efficient is because it requires more work up front.
Yep.
And what work is it? Both the tables have to be sorted and bucketed on the same column. So once you have that, which isn't that big of a deal. I'm just saying, in general, if you're doing anything before, most likely you've already
sorted it. Does table size matter in that one?
Table size doesn't matter on that one, but it needs to be sorted in.
Yeah, so you've got a little more homework and legwork to do up front for this one, but then you get almost best performance
out
of that one.
Right.
Okay.
So you need to turn the settings, depending on what you want, you need to turn the settings
up. Okay.
Yeah. So that was join. This is my final optimization. We've learned about all of these great things.
Yep.
Now, what ends up happening is customers are very excited about Arc, like you just got.
Yep.
You end up using Arc. Let me give you an example. You have original input data, 100 gigs. You used Arc with snappy compression, and it brought to 2 gigs. Hypothetical example. You're like, great.
Yep.
And then
saved a bunch of space. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Okay. You start running it, except that your job still runs pretty slow. Because why? Now it's bottlenecked in the last phase, which is the reduce phase.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it's only running with one reducer. The reason being, by default, Hive uses a setting to calculate the number of reducers, right? And so it assumes, it doesn't know you're using Arc with Snappy, right? It assumes you have 100 gigs of data, so it should span up 100 reducers. So it'll just divide by default, which is 1 gig. So it'll just bring up 2 reducers in this case. If it had brought up 100 reducers, your job would be much faster, right? So I'm saying, what you need to do is you need to go change this Hive exec reducers bytes per reducer setting.
Okay.
It was 1 gig. It came down to 256 megs.
Okay.
Even that's too high, I think, depending on your scenario. So you might want to play with that number.
Okay. So to get the default, you said is
as of now 256.
256. And so when you run that, what you're saying is you might have to play with this setting a little bit to get the best performance from the reducer.
I mean,
standpoint.
You need to have enough parallelism, right? That's the key. You get more speed with parallelism,
yep.
So changing this number will increase or decrease your parallelism,
okay.
which will give you the performance you
need.
All right, so
that's good to know.
Yeah, so key takeaway is manually tune this for the optimal number of reducers. Great, so with that, this is our summary. We talked about 5 optimizations today, compression, partitioning, Arc file format, joins, and number of reducers.
Sweet. So given that, I mean, what have you seen from some of our customers who are using Hive, who have had these performance issues and have implemented some of this? Have they gone from, hey, you know, this isn't really working the way we wanted it to God, this is awesome?
They have. So we've helped our customer, many customers.
Yep.
Some customers, I mean, just like last month, someone, we went from 70 minutes to 17 minutes.
Wow.
That's how much optimization we went to.
Just by implementing some of these.
That's right.
Okay.
And there's more, but you
can
start with these. In addition, we're actually working with Hortonworks, and in the next month, we're going to release LLAP, which is Hive, which can cache data in memory.
Oh, wow.
So I'll
come
back and do another session once we have
that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we keep innovating in this space with open source. So once we have that, Hive will become much more faster because now you can cache data in memory.
Yeah. And this is helpful because when people get into Hive and they're like, hey, how do I improve the performance? They may not know where to go look and how to, you know, if they know, hey, I want to implement compression or partition, how do I do that and what's the best? So
That's
this
right.
is a great overview. Awesome, Rasheem, thank you so much
sure.
for coming. This is great information.
Sure.
We look forward to having you
yep.
back. Everybody, thanks for watching and we'll see you next time.